السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اكمن لك الله ونموسى ونسهاو you are tuning to Radio Islam International Medium Wave 1548 with me your host Hajira Muzobe. A special welcome to those listening to us via free-to-air satellite and on DSTV audio bouquet channel 826. Welcome to this week's edition of The Reminders Show, our journey to a better spiritual life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and remind, for indeed the reminder benefits the believer. On our lineup for today, inshallah, alhamdulillah, I'm pleased to introduce a new series for today and the next couple of Tuesdays to come, inshallah. We will be having a series which will be called Living a Better Life, My Purpose as a Believer, where inshallah my guests and I will be discussing different topics which will help us live better lives in terms of us as believers, that is as Muslims or Muslimas. And inshallah, on this journey we will also be able to understand what our purpose is and how to go about in terms of fulfilling that purpose, inshallah. Now there are two topics we will be touching on today, and that is niyya and how to become present in our salah, inshallah. My guest will be joining me for the duration of the series is Apa Fatima Khwele Mukawa. Apa Fatima, jazakallah khair for joining us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Apa, jazakallah so much for having me.
Jazakallah khair, ameen, ameen. Apa, how is Apa doing today?
I'm okay, alhamdulillah. And how's Apa?
Alhamdulillah, very excited. Very excited. Now, for a believer, life is an opportunity to always strive for improvement in whatever way possible. And while becoming better isn't easy, and definitely asinta elula is not something that happens overnight, we are all aware that we should be better to some extent, be it in our work, our hobbies, our families and friends, or even having a better relationship in terms of us spending money or eating our food and so on, and most importantly our religious and spiritual obligations. Now part of being better in all of these as a believer is aiming to excel in them as well, and part of excelling in all of these is having an intention, a niyya, which is what we will be opening today's program with, inshallah. Now there's a hadith, something to the effect where it is said, indeed, actions are judged by intentions, and for every person is that which he or she intends. Now, this is a beautiful hadith narrated by Umar radiallahu anhu, which is found in both Bukhari and Muslim. Now, this hadith is a lengthy hadith, but the most important part that we will be focusing on is that of innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat. And many of us are aware of it, alhamdulillah, especially those who are students of deen or have been students of deen. We have come across this hadith in the beginning of many books in madrasa, and I'm sure many students also have their books where they had a lengthy explanation of this hadith, alhamdulillah. And if not in our books, we had like a full class. I remember in madrasa we had a full class, a period where we had a explanation on the hadith, the importance of intention, and at the end of that lesson we were then advised to renew our intention. And that time as a student, when you were a student of deen, your intention was for the purpose of why you came to study deen and why and for whose pleasure. Now I would like all of us and all our listeners inshallah at home to take this opportunity to renew our intention at this moment, inshallah. Now from the hadith that I have mentioned, we come to understand the importance intention plays in the life of a believer, and that in every aspect of life of a mu'min, of a believer, his or her intention determines the outcome of the action he or she will be doing. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ إِمْرِ مَا نَوَى. The hadith goes on further where it tells us, you know what, if you have come for the deen of Allah, for Rasulullah, I mean, you have come, whatever you do is for the sole purpose of attaining, you know, the close understanding of the deen of Allah and so on, then your hijrah, your journey will be towards that. And what if your hijrah is towards the world, inclination to the world, or it goes further to saying if your intention is to go marry a girl and so on, then your intention will be on that and it will be nothing else. And this also really shows us the importance of intention. Now, Apa, I don't know, what is your take on that, inshallah, on our intention and the importance of it?
الأرحام وسبحان الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كل يعلم على شاكله على شاكلته فربكم أعلم بمن هو أهدى سبيلا. Allah Ta'ala says, everyone acts according to his intentions, and your Lord is best aware of whose path is right. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث حسن، النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم says, إنما الأعمال بالنيات، verily actions are judged upon the intentions. So as Allah basically is saying that everything that a believer does basically will be judged according to our intentions. So Allah is saying that basically what is the importance of our intentions as a believer. So firstly, we need to understand the intention itself. What is this intention, right? Basically, it says that intention can be looked at into two different ways. One, it is used to differentiate certain actions of worship from one another. That is, for example, salah, fasting in the month of Ramadan, etc. Right? So any action which is done without sincere intentions is basically worthless in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala says, any believer who strives in the path of Allah Ta'ala, he will be rightly guided by Allah and to be on the right path, inshallah. So intentions is like basically like the prerequisite of our acceptance of our deeds from Allah Ta'ala. And I'd say that the second part of it would be, it is to differentiate the acts done for the sake of Allah Ta'ala and the acts that which are done for other than the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Right? Like when one gives charity, what are we doing this charity for? So that people can know us as people who are generous, or we're doing it for to gain the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. So every action, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam advised us that it should be done solely for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure.
Very, very true. And it is very important, Appa, to, as even dear listeners at home, to always ask ourselves, why and for who are we living our lives? So we are speaking about the purpose of life. This series is on our purpose of in life. How can we actually build upon that and understand what is our purpose is and live our life better according to that purpose, inshallah. And one of those important key points that we are speaking about and we're beginning with is that of intention, that whatever we do, we should ask ourselves why and for who we are living our lives. So this, it will help us understand, inshallah, our purpose much more. You know, I was thinking last week when I was speaking about the topic of sunnah, and I came to realize, that's when I even thought, you know what, I need to have this topic, I need to have this series of actually finding our purpose in life, where I was talking and I was speaking about, you know what, our purpose is this, and I came to realize that how many of us actually understand what our maqsad is, why we are here. Now we understand when you go for a talk and you go on, you maybe for bayans and so on, what happens is, okay, you know what, my purpose is to worship Allah. But how many of us know how to go about with that? And the first step to that, dear listeners, is having an intention and understanding of that intention we are making, inshallah. I don't know if Appa has more to add on the intention.
Yes, so Appa, just basically indeed that it is very important as a believer to always have a good intention of everything that you are doing, because that's how our end result would be with regards to that certain intention. It shouldn't be that on the day of Qiyamah, when we meet Allah Ta'ala, inshallah, and Allah Ta'ala basically asks us that, what have you done in this world for me? And then we say, Ya Allah, I read Salah, I gave charity, I fasted in the month of Ramadan, and then Allah Ta'ala turns back and says, no, you did not do any of that for me. And we'll be surprised that what does Allah mean, like we did not do any of that for him. And then Allah Ta'ala will basically make it clear to us that when we've done certain actions, we've done them because why? So and so could say, MashaAllah, you are 5 times daily namazing. Or so and so can say, oh, MashaAllah, you are so very generous, you give so much and you do so much of work, MashaAllah. Or you're fasting in the month of Ramadan, and on top of that, you fast on the Mondays and Thursdays, you know, just so people can say something good about us. So therefore, all of that will be of no use. Imagine striving so hard in this world and doing so much, and then only to find out at the end of the day it's not for Allah. Pleasure, you know, the thing you're reading Salah, and while you're reading your Salah, alone, you're reading, like, up, down, kiss the ground, and back to town, like, so far. And the minute somebody walks in, you start changing, you know? You start reading your salah slowly, trying your best to read with khushu and khudu. And then after that, that whole intention of yours, of how you started the salah and how you're ending it, it's not for Allah's pleasure at all. You're actually reading it for those people who walked in to say, oh, mashallah, look at how pious she is and stuff like that. So may Allah Ta'ala forgive us forever, changing also our intentions in between our actions that we do, and ever doing it for any other body or for name and fame also for that matter.
That's a very, very important point that Appa has put away. Actually, when we are, you'll find a lot of times when we are reading, like how Appa says, we're reading our salah, and all of a sudden you find that, okay, we are end up wanting to show a person if we're reading this. And many of it, most of the time when you look at it, Appa, also, when our intention is not right, for most of the things, when we are doing it, our intention is not for the purpose of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we talk about what is our purpose in life, and that purpose is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't realize that it's not only our salah that comes with, you know, worshipping Allah, but many other things can actually become worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we have to have the right intention for it. Yes, our salah is there. Yes, we have a... we have to have that salah where we're reading our salah, and our intention has in our salah is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we fail to realize actually that you know, intention plays important part in terms of us worshiping Allah throughout our lives. Like, for instance, such a beautiful thing we learn from the sunnah itself, like drinking water can be actually an act of ibadah. None of us actually know that. Or sometimes, you know, helping others can be an act of ibadah, and none of us actually are aware of that, because sometimes when we are doing things, our intention is not for, you know, for the pleasure of Allah, or our intention is solely, okay, now sometimes you find it's to finish something, to get it done. Like, some of you find that's how we live. And part, like as I mentioned, part of a believer's life is excelling in whatever they are doing. For instance, whatever, our work, our children, and so on. And part of actually gaining that excellent manner of doing that with love, with doing it, you know, for the pleasure of Allah, is having the correct intention for it. Now, this is a very important important point that Appa has made here, inshallah. And Appa, with terms of renewing our intention, what can Appa tell us about that?
Appa, in terms of renewing our intentions, as believers, we should know that everything that we do can be a form of worship, as long as we have the right intentions. So intentions, basically, they mark change in our lives. The practices of constantly, basically, double-checking our intentions at all times, it makes us basically become in a habit of doing good things, right? And then because we renew our intentions also, our actions also will have a purpose. Our actions will be properly done for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. We won't divert and do it for somebody else. We won't divert, even if people might talk bad about whatever it is that you're doing. But if you know your purpose is for Allah, then your purpose will be for Allah and your focus will be for Allah. However, if people talk good about you as well, and then also it shouldn't be, now we get big heads for that, because now, yeah, people are praising me and stuff like that. Our focus still should be for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. Whether people are saying good, people are saying bad, it should still be for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. So when we renew our intentions, basically we gain control of our thoughts and our impulses, right? And also is that basically we develop the ability to be steadfast, you know, to stay strong in whatever it is that you are doing. No matter who's against you, look at how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed strong with regards to what Allah Ta'ala had told him to send out the message to the believers. And if Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not strong enough, the message wouldn't have reached us today. So because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was steadfast and he knew who he was doing this for, therefore Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed strong. And then I'd also say that we'll gain the people's trust also due to our sincerity and basically the lack of hidden motives, you know, because there's nothing else that you are hiding from the people. You try your best to be as transparent as possible with what you are doing. So therefore, people also will basically trust you with regards to what you do. And I'd say also, you are rest assured to know that whether you've made a mistake or not, at the end of the day, Allah Ta'ala is going to reward you because your intention was correct. Because at the end of the day, you said, Lillahi Ta'ala, and only for Him and only for Him alone. So therefore, I'll say that we should renew our intention for everything. In the beginning, you're going to make an intention of a certain thing, and then from there, you're going to renew that intention in the middle of the action at the end. Because why? In the beginning, maybe, Alhamdulillah, a person is doing it for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, but in the middle, what happens is you might stop, like how we made an example of Salah. While you're reading the Salah, somebody walks in, and therefore you start reading slowly because somebody's watching you, whereas Allah has been watching us all this time. And then at the end as well, to renew our intention as well, to say, Allah, this was only for your pleasure, because maybe in between you might have forgotten, or at the end when people are maybe saying things after you've given your speech, after you've given charity and stuff like that, at the end people are all praising you and stuff, you start getting a big head. So therefore at that time you renew your intention again and say, Allah, this is for your pleasure, and it's not for the people to say good things about me, but rather to see the actions that I've done, and inshallah for them to put it into practice as well.
Very true. I've made quite a, I never thought about it this way, of how our intention really plays an important role in our thoughts. I've mentioned how it, it changes our thinking, and we don't really realize this. And you notice this especially when you are teaching it, or you have been to madrasa, that most of the time, let's say you want to do something, like Abba says, something good and so on, then your intention in the initial, it's good, but they don't really understand that, you know what, how much of a positive impact your intention does in actually gaining that, you know, maximum benefit of doing that action. Like for instance, when we think about it, when we know our intention is to please Allah, we know our intention, or no, let's not take that side of maybe your battle, let's take this side of actually work. When you know that your intention, what is your goal or your intention at that moment, that, you know what, my intention is to attain this much and this much, then your thoughts generally, generate your ability or your movement or your, you know, your working steps towards attaining that goal. And it's also in our salah, when we are able to understand that, you know what, we are doing our salah, our intention is for the purpose, is for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is our purpose in life, and this is what we are aiming to gain. We are working towards our akhirah in terms of us building a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and, you know, working towards our akhirah, then our mindsets will be totally different. We will think about it in a different way. We will think about salah not as something that we do five times daily, for instance, but we will think about it as us working to earn the pleasure of Allah, us working to actually gain our jannah as time go on. I don't know, that was a very, very interesting point that Appa has made. I don't know if Appa can build on that more.
Appa, I'd say, you know, our thoughts, they play tricks on us, basically, in a lot of times, in a lot of things that we do, and people as well would play tricks on us in such a way that shaitan would make you think that this person, yeah, is praising you, and at the end of the day, after they praise you, he makes you think that you are now better, you are now more important than the people around you because of whatever action that you've done. So therefore, shaitan diverts everything that you've done and make it seem like now you are doing it for those people or for that praises, whatever the case might be. So at the end of the day, that will all be useless. So we should not allow shaitan to play with our minds. We should not allow, because on the day of Qiyamah, what's going to happen is shaitan, if you're going to blame him, he's going to say, Allah, I only put a thought in his mind, and therefore he acted upon that. Right? So that's why it's important that whatever it is that we do, try our best in every way possible. It gets hard, yes, but we should try our best. You know, when you, the minute a person praises you, and say, Ya Allah, again, you turn to him. If it means you need to cry and ask Allah Ta'ala to please make it such that whatever intention that you've made in the beginning, it remains with you. And you remain steadfast in that, in that whatever action it is. Because sometimes you started a thing, maybe let's say you started a church organization and you're doing it for Allah's pleasure, because now people are saying whatever they're saying, then you start diverting from that and you started doing it so that people might praise you even more. So therefore, all of that is just a loss. You know, you've lost everything. So I'll say, remember Allah at all times and remember that He is the only one who can give us reward, because people can't do anything for us at all. You know, they can't come and reward us and say, I'm giving you Jannah example in exchange of whatever action that you've done, or I give you Jannah because you've done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So nobody can guarantee us any of those things. So if people could actually guarantee us that we'll get Jannah after they praise us or after we've diverted from whatever it is that we've done, then so be it, we can carry on and do that. But unfortunately, nobody can do that for us.
Very, very true. Okay, Afa, it is a time for us to go to for our ad break, inshallah. So when we come back, inshallah, we will carry on our topic for today. Stay tuned, and Afa, we will get back, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. You are tuning to Radio Islam International Medium Wave 1548 with me, your host Hajra Muzawe, and this is the Reminder Show. Today we are speaking about living a better life, our purpose in life as Muslims, and this is a series that will carry on for the next few weeks, inshallah, where we actually will get a better understanding of what our purpose in life is, and inshallah, how to build on that and live our lives in a better way according as Muslims. Now, we are carrying on with our second segment, inshallah, and part of us living better lives is understanding what our purpose in life is, and according to that, we will be able to understand what is required from us as believers. Now, we are told about what this purpose is in Surah Adh-Dhariyat, that is in Ayah 56, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and I have not created mankind and jinn except to only worship me. Now, dear listeners, from this, from Lama Zulayaga, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from these words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are able to understand, with this in mind, in this segment, we will be discussing how to become present in our salah, as well as how to overcome the challenges that we may have with regards to performing our salah. Now, you know, I'm sure many of us at this moment, when we hear being present in our salah, the first thing we think about is khushu', now, which is also very important in terms of fulfilling the obligation of our salah. But there are many other factors which also play part in us being present in our salah. Now, when we talk about being present in salah, part of our being present is to read the salah on time, to take care that all the requirements for salah are taken care of. That is, remember that this is your purpose in life. Remembering that our salah is actually our purpose in life. So it is important that one does it in the correct manner. It shouldn't be that it becomes an exercise or physical routine that you usually do 5 times a day. But rather, you should it be something that, you know, it's of utmost importance that your life, the reason for your life, the reason that you are living your life at this moment is because of this act of worship, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it should be done in a way which is most pleasing to Him, the correct manner. And remember that your salah comes before everything, and that it will be the very first thing to be questioned. You know, we read many times in the hadith, when we read about the day of Qiyamah, and we read about the first things that will be questioned is our salah, whether we read it our salah on time, whether we read our salah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure, whether our salah was done, you know, in its time, with meeting its requirements, with khushu and khudu. We will be asked all about this, but it's also important to remember that, you know what, during your salah, to let go of everything that is around you, everything that, you know, this is in terms of actually attaining that maximum benefit of your salah, or attaining that excellence of your salah. So during your salah, try to let go of everything, let your primary focus rather be on your salah, let go of all the attachments that you might have in mind. You know, sometimes when we are reading our salah, what happens? Our mind starts to wonder, we start to think about that. You know, we have this little joke or something where we are told, you know what, if you ever forget anything, then go into your salah, you will remember it. So even this is because our mind at that time, it wanders around. Our focus is on everything else than what it is. So, and you find that at that moment, when you let go of all the attachments, your khushu in salah becomes better. So when you let go of everything that's in your mind, when you let go of the thoughts that you might have, when you let go of the things that might be worrying you at that time, then your khushu in salah also becomes better. And what we say is that in that salah, whatever we say in our salah, like our surahs, then it becomes with a better understanding. We are able to, it becomes better because it's done with focus and attention. That's why we see that when we are in salah and we're thinking so many things, and sometimes you even forgot what rakat you're on, or what surah you're reading, or which ayat comes next, because your focus is not on that salah. And that's why when you see that we lose that focus, and our focus is only with regards to attaining the dunya and worldly attachment, that bliss in our salah, that contentment is taken away, the love in that salah is taken away, because why? Our focus was not on that salah, and us performing that salah has been done in such a way that, you know what, you don't get that fulfillment that you can get from your salah due to actually having this attachment of the dunya and thinking about the dunya. So another in terms of us attaining our being present in our salah is to actually understand that what being present in our salah comes praying more. Where we read more salah, we create time for our salah. Not just the first salah, but the nafil salah as well. We create time for that purpose, which is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll find that love being built on it, that you will want to actually read more salah. You'll want to actually spend your time in salah where you're worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this comes only with that focus and that attention and that contentment that you will get from your salah, that it will create that where you want to actually read more salah and you want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you know, we always create where we create time for instance, we create time for me time, or we create no time for where you have that turn off time where you're blocking everything. But how many of us actually create a my connection and relationship with Allah time? How many of us can say that we have that time where you have a certain hour in your day, or you have a certain time in your day where you actually dedicate it to actually performing salah and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? None of us actually. So what praying more and all of this with actually being present in your salah is actually praying more and understanding what comes after this, inshallah. I don't know if Appa has anything to add on that, inshallah.
Subhanallah, Appa has said so much, subhanallah, mashallah. And it is true, you know, in terms of the specific point that Appa mentioned, in terms of sometimes forgetting even the surah that you are reading in your salah. Mm. You know, that is, I think for me, I feel that's the most disappointing part of it, because it shows that our mind and our soul is not in that salah. You know, there's nothing worse than talking to someone and they are busy with something else, or they are on their phones or anything like that. So imagine how Allah feels by us talking to Him, and then all of a sudden our mind is just basically not there.
Mm.
So it is important as people that when we read the salah, when we start the salah, we should prepare ourselves in accordance to that. Like how we prepare ourselves to go anywhere, I think for salah as well, we should do the very same thing.
Mm.
The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also said that whoever guards the five times very salah while believing that the salah is a right of Allah Ta'ala will enter Jannah.
Mm.
So if our ultimate goal is Jannah, and our ultimate goal is to please Allah Ta'ala, then we should be present in our salahs, right? I'd say that also before we read the salah, in terms of preparation, obviously we make our wudu and we basically go to the toilet, make istinja, make your wudu, and then come lay your musalla and face the qibla. So when you do that, you should intentionally make intention that, Ya Allah, I'm standing in front of you, facing the Qibla, wanting to read 2 rakats of Fard of Zohar, Salah, example, and only for your pleasure. So what happens there is you've intentionally made this intention, and once you say Allahu Akbar, then basically everything else around you, you will forget, inshallah, and you will be focused on the one being that whom you are trying to speak to. So know that the benefits of reading Salah spiritually, physically, so basically spiritually, how will I gain by reading the Salah? Will I gain my Jannah? Will I be speaking to Allah Ta'ala? What will I benefit out of it in terms of my spirituality? How will I go further in terms of growing in terms of spirituality? And physically as well, basically it's like an exercise also to our bodies, you know, all those different postures that we make in our salahs, our rukus, our sajdas, if you have back problems and stuff like that. Basically, salah helps us with all of that. And we know, you need to know who are you talking to. Imagine if a president or somebody famous had to come in front of us and people would get like starstruck, right? We need to be starstruck with Allah Ta'ala when we're speaking to Him. Know that, humble ourselves, talk with utmost respect. Don't recite the Fatiha so loud that you yourself don't know what is it that we've been reading. Don't recite the Fatiha so incorrectly that we ourselves, at the end of the day, we wonder what is it that I've been reading in my Salah. So even if, maybe for example, if we're new Muslims, we should take our time to learn the Surah properly. If we have been Muslims all our life, then we should also still take our time and listen. Get somebody to listen to us if we are reading the Surah to Fatiha correctly, because this is a conversation that we are having with Allah Ta'ala. So for any other thing, we'd prepare ourselves before we go there. So therefore, with Salah, it's the same thing. And I feel that we need to thank Allah for the ability to be able to read Salah, because there are so many people that actually can't read Salah, you know, because Shaitan is so hard on the person that you cannot read that Salah. Or people, we come up with so many excuses and we end up blaming Shaitan for our excuses. So we thank Allah for the ability and the opportunity to be able to read the Salah here, and knowing that it is for Him. So, Ya Allah, we thank You, we appreciate the fact that I got to read my Salah today, right? And know that it's for Allah Ta'ala. Will ask Him for the will, for Allah to give us that opportunity. And another thing is also, you know, we need to ask forgiveness as well from Allah Ta'ala for whatever, however we've read our Salah in the most wrong way, or how maybe our postures were incorrect. If that is incorrect, Alhamdulillah, I think in our time there's ulama all over the place, there's madaris all over the place, there's ladies' classes, there's children's classes, there's every type of a class. So we need to go to those places there, and we need to learn and practice and know how our Salah should be read, inshallah. And at least also we should complete at least most of our tasks before reading Salah, so that we shouldn't read Salah knowing that I still need to do this, I still need to do that. So finish at least something and then read Salah. Like for example, we shouldn't read Salah when we are hungry, or we need to to answer the call of nature. So take care of those little things first and then read Salah. If you are cooking, off the stove and then go read Salah, so that your mind doesn't say that I need to finish Salah quickly so that I can go back cooking, or my pot is probably burning. So we should plan our entire day within Salah. Even if you are working, plan your entire day with Salah. So when you're working, you're going to need to check, okay, from this time to this time I'm doing this, and that time to that time. So therefore, I got those 10 minutes that I can read my Zohar Salah example, where I can go make my wudu, all of that. So even when you're working, make sure that you have all that you need at work, so that you don't make an excuse that I can't read Salah today because I forgot this and that, or I can't make wudu there because it's like this. You know the condition of work, so therefore you need to act in accordance with that, work in accordance with that, let that work for you, you know, find ways, inshallah, that will help us towards that. And we need to learn our du'as properly, our Quran properly as well, inshallah. And also, I'd say the most important one also is to dress for the occasion. I mean, this is Allah that we are meeting. Jeez. So we don't meet Allah in our pajamas or in clothes that you don't want to meet anyone else. Mm. So we dress for the occasion. If it means you have a special burqa and a special, abaya, or special topi and a special kurta for your salah, then have those things there, because this is the king of all kings that we are meeting. So we need to meet him in our best of forms. If it was not like that, Allah Ta'ala would not have told us that before we read salah, we need to make istinja and wudu, and then we pray to Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, we could have just went on the musallah and just read our salah. But Allah told us first, you need to be in a state of purity and then come and meet me. So it means our clothes too should be in a state of purity. The way we look, we shouldn't be disheveled as well. So may Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability, inshallah, to dress for the occasion and make sure that we are ready and intentionally make intention that this salah is read solely for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen, ameen. Afaji, that made really, really good important points. One point that really stood out is that one of knowing who you are standing in front of, know who you are going to meet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is something that usually comes with, you know what, when we lose our focus in salah, when we lose and our thoughts start going around. And I like how Abba mentioned it, you usually take away the distractions that will actually take you away from that salah, will take your concentration away from that salah, will take, you know, the beauty of that salah, because you'll be thinking about that, you're thinking about that, and you won't be able to actually focus on that salah. And that's why we're speaking about this. We'll also go to our next point, which is on khushu and how to attain that khushu, inshallah. And one point that I would like to make in terms of that khushu and so on, and building that khushu, we will talk about the steps of actually attaining that khushu, inshallah. We'll give some points on that, inshallah. But I want to all of us actually understand, part of us actually understanding our salah, dear listeners, and gaining that love and that contentment in salah is actually understanding what we are saying, what are the postures we are doing, what does it have to do in our salah. Understanding that why, when you are reading your salah, when you are saying Sami Allahu liman hamida, when you are saying Allahu Akbar, what does it mean? What importance does it play in your salah? And one beautiful thing that I always give, and one beautiful lesson that I always give, even in madrasa, because sometimes you find that children are very naughty and fidgety during salah. So you see this one, it's touching this one, this one. And I always tell them, you know what? We have our takbir tahrima. And when you think about takbir tahrima, when you think about the word itself, tahrima, takbir tahrima, you think about and you understand what comes after that takbir tahrima, then your salah, you'll understand the importance that salah actually plays, that you're not supposed to be doing anything. And I always give him this example that, you know what, we are saying it's takbir tahrima. You hear the word tahrima in it, then that automatically tells you haram, right? And when you understand that this is the takbir, the first takbir al-ula, that takbir which actually, makes everything else around you disappear. Everything around you disappear. When you're saying Allahu Akbar, what happens? Everything around it, the first Allahu Akbar, everything else disappears. So your thoughts about the world, about the dunya also has to disappear. Your thoughts about, you know, actually what's happening around you at this moment has to disappear. Because why? Everything else that's outside of it now becomes haram. That thing, whatever is your focus on other things, actually haram at that moment. Because why? Now this is the time where you are reading your salah. So understanding what comes with that salah, understanding the words and understanding all this, paying attention to what you're reciting in your salah plays of utmost importance. As I always say, never mind that we cannot understand, or maybe the words of the Quran, we cannot understand like the big surahs and everything that's happening in our salah, the surahs that we are reciting. But at least let's try to actually learn the small, small du'as in our salah. What do they mean? And that actually creates that whole beauty in our salah. It creates that more understanding of why we should have khushu in our salah. I don't know if Afa understands what I'm trying to say. Chief.
Did Afa say something?
I was saying, I don't know if Afa understands what I'm trying to say with the takbir tahrima, about how much it actually created khushu in our salah.
Khushu in our salah is the most important, because if we don't have that, then our salah is just basically just salah, you know. Imagine you're reading this salah and Allah Ta'ala basically throw it back into our faces because we're not reading things properly, we're not reading our rukus properly, our sajdas, as Nabi Sallallahu has said that also. If for example, basically the thief, the biggest thief is the one who steals in the salah way, in terms of the ruku and such, that way you do not read them properly.
Hmm.
So it's things like these that we need to be aware of. We need to know the ahadith. We need to know the virtues of salah, inshallah, so that we can gain the khushu and khudu in our salah. But without knowing those, we can't gain that in our salah.
Hmm. And we when you come to understand what is khushu and you come to understand the importance khushu plays, then you understand that if your salah is ready with khushu, then you become ultimately you are successful in your day. You are successful in that worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are successful in the purpose of your life. Like, you know, we have a way it said in the Quran that, you know, what successful are those are the believers who are humble, meaning they maintain khushu in their salah. Now, when we speak about humble, when we speak about khushu, we speak about all this, we're speaking about, you know what, entering our salah with so much beauty and understanding of what we are doing, of understanding the words we are saying, our concentration, understanding the obedience that we are having at that moment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it needs our uninterrupted intention, etc. And all of this, so it's important to also understand that, you know what, you are entering a salah with full conviction to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Full, you know, attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in that salah, it's supposed to be a beautiful moment where it's you and Allah, it's a conversation with you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will speak about some of the ways we can attain that khushu. I don't know if Papa has a few points on how we can attain khushu, inshallah.
I'll say that in terms of that, how to basically have khushu is, I'll say firstly, we need to plan our days in accordance to our salah.
Mm.
All right? No matter what happens, firstly, we need to know that our salah is faral and there's no running away from that. All right?
Mm.
There's no excuse of neglecting our salah. And salah, we need to plan more our time in terms of how, in accordance basically to our salah, right?
Mm.
For example, things that would challenge us, it would be like, for example, walk over, lacking our salahs, lack of proper hudu facilities, or maybe you're a stay-at-home mom and the child is just there and he's maybe very busy and there's nobody else to help you to look after the child, maybe while you make hudu, reading salah, etc. So whatever the reason might be, we should not let shaitan basically take our mind away from Allah Ta'ala.
Mm.
Right? So is that we said we should plan in accordance to the salah. We should also, when you're starting a new work, example, a new job, whatever the case might be, you need to check the policies of that job.
Mm.
Right? What are the policies? What are the requirements? If I can, am I allowed to read my salah? Am I allowed to wear in a certain way? Am I allowed to take a certain break at a certain time specifically for my salah? So we need to check those things. Then, inshallah, with that, it wouldn't be that we're stealing and going into one corner quickly and reading salah. Then definitely there wouldn't be any khushu and khudu there because you are not content in any way.
Mm.
Understand?
Mm.
And then we need to make sure that we have everything that we need for salah. So if you are at work, you will be able to have those things that you need, like your burqa, your masalla, your abaya, whatever the case might be.
Hmm.
So inshallah, then you will also be content. Then you won't be basically pulling up your sleeves so that it becomes a little longer. And then all those small things are the things that basically distract the person.
Hmm. Hmm.
I'd say most importantly is make Allah Ta'ala a priority.
Gee.
So within everything that we do, we prioritize with Allah Ta'ala.
Hmm.
So all our work things or whatever, you're at a mall, whatever the case might be, but our priority at the end of the day is Allah.
Hmm.
So whatever mall you're going to, make sure that in that mall there's a salah facility or there's a masjid just close by so that you are able to go read your salah, inshallah.
Hmm.
So, and also as soon as we get home, and it's already time for Asr, example, we should immediately go make hudu, read Asr, get ourselves ready and read Asr. Because if we're going to first go do other things, what happens? We delay the salah. We're never going to get to do the salah, inshallah.
Mm-hmm.
So We shouldn't be like hypocrites in such a way that in one place at work we're fighting that we should be reading our salahs is our right and this and that and that, mm-hmm. whereas when we go home we don't even read those salahs. Mm-hmm. So in that way also we should also seek for forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala so that inshallah somehow slowly we will be able to gain that steadfastness and contentment in our salahs inshallah. Mm-hmm. That we know that it is for Allah Ta'ala. Okay. Right? And know that this salah is also for Allah Ta'ala's sake and not to benefit any other person, because remember, Allah does not benefit from our salah that we are reading. We are the ones who actually benefit and gain the reward. We will, inshallah, ultimately gain Jannah for reading the salah, inshallah. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we should not be such that we are, we are reading the salah just because I have to read it. And when once you read it like that, at the end of the day, what happens is, we're going to lose our intentions, we're going to lose the purpose of the salah here, and we end up going to reading whatever. And hence, in that way, ultimately, we want to gain the khushu, khudu in our salah. We're not going to gain that, unfortunately.
Very, very true, Akhtar. And I'd just like to add on with the khushu. It's important that many of us try to understand Surah Fatiha. You know, many of us don't actually get the chance to actually do tafsir of the Quran or do tarjima of the Quran. But, you know, it's important that we actually, many of us, because when you see in all of the rakats that we're reading Surah Fatiha. In every rakat, then what happens? You're reading Surah Fatiha. It's important to understand, because then you are able to understand the meaning, the beauty of it. And when you're understanding, there's an ayat in Surah Fatiha which actually says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, only you we worship and only we seek your help from you, guide us to straight path. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ إِحْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ, that you know what, only we worship and seek help from.